This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Paul Lemming, let's go to Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Man, I don't even know where to begin. Last night, there was a lot of people biting their nails, and I don't know what it is about this Green Bay Packers team. Maybe I've just become accustomed to them winning ugly, or whatever term they want to use, or whatever it is being kicked around out there. I've just become accustomed to it. They've got the ability to get a win. I wasn't worried about it. I thought they would walk away with a victory. I didn't think they were going to go to some ugly fate via the Seahawks yet again. They've just figured it out, and whether it's ugly or whether it's a blowout, do you got a lot of confidence in this team going into next week?
Well, let me just say about yesterday, I think what it showed and what it proved is that they are tested. They were tested. And if you're blowing everybody out, if you're not facing a lot of adversity as a team, it's a pretty irregular season. Like, you're rolling, you know? So there's not a lot of lessons to be learned. And it's not apples to apples, Bill, but the Baltimore Ravens were not tested in the regular season as much as the Packers were. The Packers were, you know, everyone, the Ravens were amazing. The Ravens were unstoppable. The Ravens were the elite team of the NFL. They got beat bad, you know, and they're gone. And meanwhile, the winning ugly but tested Green Bay Packers are alive and well. So, you know, it's not a great way to watch football for a lot of fans, to watch some ugly football and close wins when you think you should be blowing teams out, but I think there's a lot of value that can be gained from that, and I think some of that came into play last night with some of the play calling. I thought Matt LaFleur the game plan from LaFleur and the execution of that game plan from a play calling perspective was terrific. I mean, just A-plus all the way around from Matt LaFleur, down to everything from the run-pass ratio and distribution to sticking with some of the ground stuff when it wasn't necessarily working, and Seattle clearly focusing on taking away Aaron Jones, and yet here comes Aaron Rodgers to the party to reemerge as, you know, the guy that people think of him as and why he's one of the all-time greats. So there's a lot there, Bill, that whether you want to, you know, it's winning close or it's winning ugly or it's all these other things, I think being tested like they were really came into play. Now, what that means to your question going forward about San Francisco and a potential Super Bowl trip and maybe, you know, even if you can somehow sneak past San Francisco facing a team like Kansas City that, you know, comes back from 24-0 before you can even get back from a bathroom break. I mean, there's a reason these are the teams that are left, you know, and there's a reason that San Francisco is a 7-point favorite going in right now, that Kansas City is a 7-point favorite going in right now, and the AFC, these are elite teams. So it's not going to get any easier, but I think a lot of regular season trials led to a victory yesterday. And I hope that at least some people are able to recognize that the winning close, the winning ugly thing has its benefits. And I do think we saw some of those benefits come to life yesterday.
So I want to ask you about Matt LaFleur. He, at the podium, I thought when he was asked about looking at the season, looking at him being a first-year head coach, getting now to an NFC Championship game, something that very few have done in their first season, and he didn't even blink an eye. He said, well, it's the guys, you know, and he went right to the team.
Yep.
Some will say, you know, well, he just seems like, you know, he's a player's coach and they got him wrapped around their finger. And I'm kind of like, no, this guy's, he's had very few verbal missteps along the way to where you could make anything out of it. And I think even when there was seemingly one, I think there was a purpose behind it. I got to admit, I give him a lot more credit than I gave him the day he walked through the door and gave us his first press conference.
Well, sure. I mean, he's the head coach of a 14-3 NFC Championship game-bound head coach, first-year head coach, who just turned 40 years old. I mean, he has proven himself three times over, you know, 9 months into the job, or whatever it's even been, not even that long. So that's how quickly I think he's become, you know, incredibly respected, and with good reason. And, you know, as I mentioned in the first question, it was like, I just think what LaFleur was able to accomplish yesterday, and of course, LaFleur doesn't look as good if Devontae Adams doesn't have an A++ game, and that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have an A+ game, and that, thank goodness, that Jared Veldier came out of retirement and was picked up by Brian Gutekunst, because, you know, one of the things that LaFleur also said was what Veldier allowed him to do, most importantly, was not have to change his offensive game plan. I can promise you, Bill, that if Alex Light was the right tackle yesterday and Veldier never did come to Green Bay, LaFleur would have had to change his game plan. That we, I mean, there's no way around it. So that's a huge pickup on the favor for Gutekunst. But what LaFleur does when he answers those questions like that, and I think we kind of got used to a very certain Mike McCarthy style. And Mike McCarthy, if, you know, for those who saw it, I assume most did or watched or heard his Dallas Cowboys introductory press conference. I mean, the stylistic speech differences between McCarthy and LaFleur are drastic. I mean, LaFleur just won a game at Lambeau Field to advance the NFC Championship game. And for the most part, most of his answers are 10 to 20 seconds. He kind of says it in a very, you know, non-leader, like not the type of like boastful guy that is going to you-rah-rah you into a victory or anything like that. Like, there's Mike Vrabel on one end where this guy is just, you know, let's knock heads together and see who comes out ahead type of guy. And then there's Matt LaFleur who, you know, Bill, I don't know if you've seen his post-game locker room speech to the team. It was like 30 seconds long. He, and I mean this complimentarily, I mean this endearingly, he's like cautiously timid in front of like some of these settings where he's trying to tell the guys, man, what a game, and we all stuck together. And he's just such a thoughtful, in a quiet, almost timid manner that to me it comes off really endearing because he is so not average football coach.
Right.
His mannerisms, the way he delivers his speeches, he is just a different guy. From I think what we all think of as stereotypical NFL head coach, Matt LaFleur is almost in every way different. And I find it fascinating. I think it's endearing to his players. I think there's a reason that despite not being your traditional stereotypical head coach, that the players have rallied around him. And so I think it's just a fascinating guy to watch. And I think we saw multiple more levels and chapters of that written last night.
Aaron Rodgers, the game that he played, it wasn't something that made the critics go, oh man, Aaron Rodgers is back. But it was a solid performance. And he wasn't perfect, but man, he dropped a few dimes last night.
I mean, there's none bigger than, of course, the one to Devontae Adams. Because even if there's, like, Geronimo Allison, by the way, made a play. I mean, Rodgers, and you could see afterwards, Rodgers gave Geronimo props on that play. Rodgers gave Jimmy Graham props on the game-sealing play. Because those aren't particularly great throws. But the one to Devontae Adams on the third down late, that is just a throw, Bill, that, you know, how many first halves in Detroit, you know, a.k.a. how many just bad, forgettable halves or games are forgotten or should be forgotten in one throw? The kind of throws that remind you, yeah, this guy is one of the all-time greats. It's just, you know, it's just not a throw that even great quarterbacks can make in that moment, at that time of the game, just absolutely dropping it in. And you're right, it's not a flawless performance or anything like that, but Rodgers has been criticized, Bill, undoubtedly, about even when he was like, you know, elite Aaron Rodgers, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, that he wasn't great as a fourth quarter comeback quarter, you know, guy, and his record of all these things, and, you know, having not a vast number of late comebacks and all of this. And, you know, there are times where those stats, and there are many times that I would argue that stats like that are misleading. And one of those reasons is because you didn't need to come back because you had a big lead, and that you were able to seal the game on plays like that. So I don't know, Bill, if this is, you know, if it does happen to be Rodgers Mahomes in the Super Bowl, like if people are going to think that Green Bay at this stage had the better quarterback of that matchup or whatever it would be. But I do think he reminded a lot of people that if you're putting him 11th on your list of playoff quarterbacks, of which there were 12, if you're saying that the 11th out of 12th best quarterback in these NFL playoffs was Aaron Rodgers, I'm not sure how many make some of the big throws he did last night. You know, Russell Wilson was absolutely incredible, a one-man wrecking crew in terms of what got Seattle back in that game and, you know, nearly brought him all the way back, if not for some of those throws from Rodgers. So, yeah, to your point, not flawless, but my gosh, some throws that just most great quarterbacks can't even make in those moments sometimes.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green Gold analyst. Before I let you go, Paul, so this week, and I know there's going to be a lot of talk about matchups, but I'm taking a step back and I'm saying I'm reveling in what the Packers have done in a 13-3, now 14-3 season, an NFC championship trip, something that none of us expected. I think while we want to forge ahead, you want to hold your breath, you want to hope that this team ends up in Miami, I think there has to be a certain level of respect for what this team has accomplished thus far. Do you agree?
I partially agree. Let me tell you the part that I agree with and disagree with. Going into this weekend, of course, there were 8 teams remaining in the playoffs. Do you know how many of the 8 teams in the playoffs in this divisional round were in the playoffs last year?
Boy, I'm thinking because Packers weren't. Kansas City was in an AFC championship game. Tennessee was not. 49ers were not. Wow. 3 out of the 4.
And actually, I'm even saying the 8 divisional teams. So include Baltimore,
yeah,
who got out, include Minnesota, who got ousted. Include, like, of the 8 teams who were alive in divisional round weekend, not championship game weekend, but
wow,
divisional round,
yeah,
weekend, only the Chiefs, one of eight.
That's amazing when you think about it, yeah.
Which just, so when you say, like, so, I mean, that's the basis for the, you know, I think my rebuttal, which is getting to this point is really hard. It takes luck, it takes skill, it takes good timing of injuries, like Mahomes being out in that game back in week 9 or whatever it was. It takes a lot of things, of Dalvin Cook being out of week 16 and Adam Thielen being, it takes a lot of skill, luck, all of these things to get this far, as 7 of the 8 teams from last year's playoff race in the division around can attest to. So this is a very flawed team. If Alan Lazard is out, and even if he's not, it's not a good wide receiving group. Even though Geronimo came up with a big catch and Jimmy Graham did from the tight end position, all these things, it's a flawed team with a lot of things that feel like, man, Brian Gutekunst, for as good of a roster as he's constructed, still has a lot of work to do. But the Los Angeles Rams can tell you, among many others, as the 28-3 that the Falcons were winning the Super Bowl against the Patriots a couple years ago can tell you, repeating and returning to that stage is really hard. So, yes, if the Packers bow out this weekend, there's plenty of positives to talk about. But I think going into the offseason and say, well, next year's the year. I mean, it might be, Bill, but there's an 87.5% chance that you're not even going to be back to the division
right
round.
No, I completely agree with. 100% I understand because, look, and you haven't been this healthy in almost 20 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, think about that. I mean, it's a good team. It's not overwhelmingly talented, but it's a damn good team. And you haven't been this healthy in 20 years. And that's one of the biggest things to getting deep into the postseason. So we'll see if they can get past. Paul, always good stuff, buddy.
Thanks, Bill. See ya.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.